My turn. That's a good...
You're up.
Good for me. What do I have to be worried about? First, I'll apologize. Carol's given me the flu, cold, cough, sniffles, and all those. So, if when I'm done you say, I wish you wouldn't have sniffled so much, no, that's kind of what I have to do. So, start out in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you for the power of your word, how it transcends all time, reaches in to all hearts. Your word is rich, Lord. Forgive us when we hear it and it passes through us blasé and ineffective. And it is meant, Lord, to richen our lives, to change who we are, to give us the power and strength to survive in this world, to reach out to one another with, to teach, and to give praise in your mighty name. May the words from my mouth be the desire of your heart. In your mighty name I pray. Good morning. Good morning. Some of you didn't get the message. Ron's not here. Normally in some other churches that I've been to, that meant there was me talking to two or three people. So you didn't get the message, huh? So I would tell you that, my preference at times when I do talks like this, so I live in two worlds. I teach and adult education, workplace safety, rigging, cranes, all kinds of various stuff, a lot of math and all those wonderful things, and it's information. So I'm an information sharer, right? And I'm also in that role, I'm a storyteller as well, because Jesus used parables, and those are the things that have been passed on through generations and generations and generations. And I prefer that. I prefer standing up at all the time and being a storyteller. And a lot of times it's what I do. Today I do something a little bit different. My talk with you today is more than a talk, it's more of a sermon. And it's because it's been a sermon to me. And I will tell you that it's rich in scripture. It's a lot of scripture, and I'm not going to give you all the details, exactly what the scriptures are and verse and all that, but I'm going to do the best I can to reach you through scripture, because I think way often in my life I hear the word of God, and it works for me, and it leaks out of me. I would tell you that a pastor one time talked about us as a vessel. That we're like a vessel, and the world pokes holes in us all the time, and we leak. And I will tell you that I leak. And there are times like this when I've spent the last couple of weeks working on this sermon, and really, I'll tell you that it's been much longer than that. And when I sat down last night and started to type it up, 50, 60 pages later, Carol's saying, "What time are you coming to bed?" So I had to narrow it down just a little bit because it was quite long. So, welcome. I'm not Ron Parker. Ron is visiting, and praise God that he's able to do those kinds of things, that we can step up, all of people, and allow him to be able to do that. I tell him, quite honestly, when I was one of the deacons, I would tell him that he doesn't do that enough. He needs to be refreshed and renewed. So I did write most of it down. Normally, if you've been here before, I like to wing it. And let the Holy Spirit run with me, and I will do that somewhat today. But to get the message out of my mouth to your ears, I needed to write down much more. The painful thing for me, I have a gift from God, and it's a strange thing, and I would choose not to have it. And it's when I read Scripture, I will tell you that reading Scripture quietly impacts me. Hearing other people read Scripture impacts me. When I read Scripture out loud, for some reason, comes back to my ears, and it can overrun me at times. So I can't see that all that well. So I'm going to start here. And why am I starting here? Anybody know? Because it's where we started, right? And I love how God weaves things together, weaves the music with the message, weaves the children's church together, and the starting here. Know therefore that the Lord your God is good. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. And the power there, the power of love, the power of God. Big piece of what I'm going to talk about today. So why am I here today and almost every Sunday? It's a good question. It made me pause. Why do I do this? Why do I come all the time? Is it out of duty or what exactly is that? And why do you come to church? And why is it so important to you? And a third question, which is may cause some of you to go, because it caused me to do it, is Jesus all I need? Is Jesus truly all I need? And if he is all I need, do I need to be here? And what does the Bible say? Is Jesus all I need? Is that it? So I'm going to talk about that. So I have a couple of scriptures I want to read to you that are my rock and my foundation here today and in this. So the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of the nations." Disciples of the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I command you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the ages. How long is the end of the ages? Forever, forever, forever. His love endures forever and ever. Rod did a nice job explaining that. Then is John, my second piece. A new command I give to you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so that you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Simply love one another. Simply love one another. Truth is that it's not. If you don't agree, let's talk about politics. Do you love the other side? I had a bad moment a couple weeks ago. And in the honesty world, I was thinking I could reach through this television and strangle this person. My emotions were through the roof. And it doesn't matter what side you're on. I'm not picking a particular side. You probably know what side I'm on. But I wanted to reach through. And I thought, oh, Lord, it's just welling up inside of me. Let's start talking about politics or about the person that cut you off the other day. Or how about the person who wronged you in your past a long time ago? And that relationship is still wounded and injured. One of my I believe statements here today, and I'm going to make a few. One of my I believe statements, I believe we are created in God's image, and yet each with a different gift. I believe that. There's a lot of scripture about that. But I truly believe that. It's one of the foundations of my, how can you not believe in God? How many people on this earth? And they're all different. And why is it? Created in God's image, but all different. All different. We can't survive if we're all the same. If we were all TV repairmen, we'd have good TVs. What would we eat? Right? Well, who's going to fix our car? You know, all of that. If we all liked doing one thing and not the other, we'd all be in one place. You know, it's an amazing thing to me. There's a whole another sermon that can just, you know, come out from that about why and how. And you know that there's plenty of scripture. I'm going to read you some that speak specifically to us and our differences and what that really means. I also believe that life experiences change us and they mold us. And therefore, the Roger standing here before you today is a product of God's creation. I believe I am. I believe you are. If you look at the person next to you, you know, I can accept that God loves me. But when you look across and you say that God loves that person, God died for that person, blood was shed for that person, when you reach out of this, it's easy when we're standing here together in church. Is it as easy out on the corner? Is it as easy when you see that person begging for money on the corner of the street? What's my first reaction when I see them on the corner asking for a dollar? What do you think it is? Get a job. That's my first reaction. Like, get a job or something like that. You know, we're hiring. Anybody looking for a job? You know, all of that. It's wrong. You know, it's wrong. It's that earthly piece of us that bleeds into us. And it's also that our vessel leaks. Today's sermon began to take form on a Sunday morning many weeks ago. This is going to sound funny to a lot of you. but I will build scripture on it later. We're singing a song that spoke to something like, all I need is Jesus, and Jesus is all I need. And I love that. There was a problem there for me. That first singing the song was fine. Backing up a little bit, I tell you, I get distracted very easy. I can go off. We all can. We can look down, see things. I did a sermon a while ago about how easily we're distracted, not just in the moment, but in life. And we can go on and on and on like I am now. So I get very distracted. So I'm singing. Words come out of my mouth at a certain rate. My brain wheels off at 25 times that rate. So I'm easily distracted. Let me see, where was I? Oh yeah, at first while singing a song that had words like, Jesus, you're all I need, and all I need is you, it was fine. And then this thought started creeping in. And it was, is Jesus really all I need? Is that all I need? You know, in my little mind, I started thinking, man, I could use a hamburger, right? I'm kind of thirsty. What would people think if I didn't put clothes on this morning? So I start, you know, my brain starts doing this really weird thing. So my mind started wheeling, and I lost my place and even felt a little bad or guilty about even having that thought. I'm thinking, you know, is Jesus going to strike me down here? You know, this is not good. Sounds strange to me. Is Jesus not all I really need? The truth is, Jesus is not all I need. He's not it. The end. He is the most important of all human needs, the absolute most important, without any doubt whatsoever. He is my one, my only. See, you shouldn't pray for the Holy Spirit. My one, my only. He is my Savior, and I love Him with all that I am. And without Him, I am nothing. And without Him, you are all nothing. We just become filling space, getting through it, living every day, bumping around, and then we die. What a wonderful life. What a wonderful life. His message over the past several weeks has become clear to me that people in my life are critical. People in my life are critical. How important gathering in worship and gathering with fellow Christians and the importance of relationships in our earthly lives really is. I'll back a lot of this up with scripture. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture. I'm going to do a little speed reading of scripture. Truth is, I found the Word of God is overwhelming, overwhelming, overwhelming in this subject, talking about gathering together one another and loving one another and the power of that. So the word one another, 94 times in New Testament verses. 47 of those give instruction to gather. 47 verses talk about gathering, the word gather. A lot of those written by Paul, one of my favorites. And how many times do you think the word love is used in the Bible? 551 times in the NIV version. 551 times. Suppose we're intended and supposed to be loving. And oh, by the way, there's a couple of scriptures that say, thou shalt love only thy people that thy want to. Right? Says that there. So it does not ever say that there. It doesn't say that anywhere. It says contrary to that in the Bible. Very contrary to that in the Bible. We like to skip that in times, and I would like to, like many times in my life, not necessarily like to love thy neighbor as myself. So there's this reality TV show. It's called Alone. Anybody seen Alone? Kind of an interesting show where people, about 10 people, are taken, dropped off, you know, in the middle of nowhere. No one else is within several miles of them. They film their own thing. They are completely alone, no human contact, except for somebody who comes in and checks on them every once in a while. So somebody comes in and checks on them every once in a while. One of those shows, there was this guy, and he was my favorite to win within 2 or 3 days. He had built, they have a certain amount of tools and things, and everything else they have to get from the land. He had built, you know, the Taj Mahal. He'd built chairs. He had water. He had already caught enough fish for months. He built a dryer, a fish drying thing. He'd gotten some partridge. He'd gotten berries and fruits, and he's just sitting back in his lawn chair he made thinking, what do I do now? And I was telling Carol, this guy's going to win. They might as well call the other people and say, go home. This guy has got it all. Second week, he calls on the sat phone and says, come and get me. I can't do this. What do you think it was? He was alone. He was totally alone. He couldn't bear the aloneness that he felt. 2 weeks. There was another one. He was an ex-pastor. And when he went on the show, he felt very much so that because of his relationship with his Lord and Savior, this was going to be easy for me, right? I'm never alone, right? We sing songs like that. I am never alone. You know, Jesus is with me. He ended up winning. Tenacity, God, praying, you know, pretty cool to watch. If you didn't watch it, to see someone, you know, on a show like that, on a reality show, you know, praying on a regular basis, praying to catch food, and then seeing, you know, having him catch food and all of that. At the end, when he was being interviewed, he spoke to how difficult it was and that he actually had very little recognition. As much as he'd been a pastor and he talked about the body of Christ and the importance of people and all those things, he became acutely aware of how important people are in his life. And he said it was the most difficult thing was being away from people. The most difficult thing. It changed his life. More recently and closer to home, Carol and I had a wonderful brunch with some friends, some strong fellow Christians, regular church attending, and a few people who not necessarily regular church going, but church believers. The hostess wanted to share something, and I can tell you it was very powerful for me. So I'm in the midst of, you know, preparing and thinking about this sermon and all of that, and I walk into this, and I can tell you for a couple weeks now I've been walking into God's grace on a regular basis. I think it happens all the time, but when our antennas are up and we're looking, we see. When our antennas are up and we're looking and we see. So I'll give you the Reader's Digest version. Strong Christian, feeling alone, working through it alone, realizing she was not being who God would have her be, her past pulling her back, and then knowing enough was enough, and reaching out not just to help, but to share. So we don't come here just to get help, and we don't have relationships just to get help. We also, in our sharing, help one another. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. So I have some of my foundational I believe statements. I believe you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Hear that? It's easy to give, but do you give because you give, or do you give because you love? I believe this is a messy life, and many times we keep that knowledge to ourselves, and we pretend it's really not messy, and that we're not really in trouble. We carry our baggage around way too long. It's not God's plan. Some of you remember I had a vision a while ago of a handful of marbles and turning it over and letting go. And it spoke, you know, powerfully to me about things I hang on to. We hang on to a lot of garbage. And oh, by the way, is there a scripture that says, hang on to thy garbage for as long as thy wish? You know, it doesn't. It doesn't. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. Why? To get rid of all of that, to wash us clean. To wash us clean. I believe the statement that this too shall pass is a bad statement. It's a humanly statement. Again, it's not a scriptural statement because this too doesn't pass. It eats us alive. And it causes us just in this tough it outwards and to be alone. It happens way too often and not to reach out to others and not to share with others. I believe I need my family, my friends, my church, as well as the church of Jesus Christ. And I need Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, in everything I do. Not most things, in everything I do. I always have that vision. Somebody said once, what would you be doing now if Jesus was walking alongside you? You know, and I think a lot of us would say, ooh, you know. And the truth of the matter is, he is, always and forever. I believe I need to be honest with myself about where and who I am so I can be honest with others, thereby strengthening my walk with Christ and their walk as well. And their walk as well. Other people's pain and other people's honesty have changed my life significantly. Significantly. If other people didn't share that stuff, if we weren't willing to share that stuff, our brokenness, our pain, our suffering, we'd all be going through this thing alone every time. It's a lot of it is about being prepared. I also believe that as much as I need Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior in my life, I need other people as well. You get that by now. I will tell you that as long as I've been a Christian, I had no idea how often the Bible speaks to this truth. And here's one, Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Excuse me. It was he who gave some, is that me? Let me move down a little bit. There you go. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and knowledge of the Son of God, become mature, attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and every cunning and crafts of men and their deceitfulness around us. Is that powerful or what? Is there cunning and deceitfulness around us? It's everywhere. So it turns out we don't just need people. We also need Christian people. Just filling our lives with people and filling our lives with space. God designed our gifts to be either used in the church or to flow out of the church. I should say, and to flow out of the church. Used in the church and flow out of the church. It's the church that teaches us to interact with the world biblically. It's the church that teaches us what is meant or what it means to love and to serve. It is the church who spiritually spiritual reproduction is accomplished. It's the church that provides the individual strength for each believer to survive this world we temporarily live in. Don't remember what song it is, but until we go home. This is not our home. We try to make this our home. It's like being in the Alone show and making this shack out in the woods. That's what we're doing. We're making a shack, a temporary place. You know, it's just a temporary place. We build our houses and we think they're permanent. Anybody seen a permanent house? Greg the carpenter? I haven't seen one yet. And if they're not cared for, it's one of the things. I went by a house recently and I noticed something. Some people abandoned it not that long ago. It looked fine 2 years ago. 2 years later, abandoned, what does it look like? It's trashed. It's trashed if we don't care for. And it spoke, you know, when I walked by, it like spoke to me. It said, if we don't care for one another, then we turn to something very different than what we are. Care for, loving. When I say the church, when I say things like God designed our gifts to be either used and or flow out of the church, or it's the church that teaches us. What is the church? We hear it all the time. It's not us. It's not the building and all that. It's us. It's the people. And the Bible speaks hundreds of times. Paul said, God designed our growth to be nourished and protected by the church. Who's the church? Us, one another. Do we protect each other? Do we reach out to one another? Without the church, we're infants and can't even care for ourselves. In my life, I've seen many people run to the church when there's a crisis. We all have. And guilty as charged. So I don't only speak about others, I speak about myself. They look to the church people to get them through whatever is going on, and then it's over or past, and they're gone until the next crisis. A church is a wonderful place to run to. But the intention of the church is not just a place to run to. It's not just a place to run to. And I'm going to give you some scripture to back this up. What they miss is that the church / people are not only there to nourish us, but also to prepare us and walk alongside us for the crisis to come. Anybody dare to hold their hand up and say there's not a crisis on their way in their life? Boy, I wouldn't. Boy, I wouldn't. Our life is full of. It's my statement before. This is a dirty world. It's a nasty world. There's a lot of stuff going on every day. And if you knew all the stuff going on today, we know enough, but we would say, oh God, oh God. Oh God, oh God. It's here to strengthen us for what comes next. The church then becomes a place, not just a place to run to, but a pillar of strength. It's where we derive our strength from, then this scripture. So here's Romans 7, 21 through 25. I find this law at work. Hear this. It's kind of clunky, but it speaks powerfully. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. when I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. What does that mean? It means I love the Word of God inside of me. I love the Word of God. It speaks to me. It holds me together. It bounds all pieces of me together. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against me. Waging war against me. It's the world around us that wages war against us. And I would say this. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So then, I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law. But in the sinful nature, a slave to sin. So Paul, in part of that, goes back and says, who helps me with my accountability to God? Who helps me with my accountability? I believe that it is the church and my family and my friends. If you're not accountable for anything, how do you do that? How do you survive that? Do you have someone that holds you accountable, that you can walk to, that you can share with? And are you willing to just throw yourself out there? Every place you go. I know people who can just bare their heart wherever they are, and everybody knows you, whether you go on Facebook or Instagram or chat thing, or if you see them in the grocery store, there's no problem with letting you know what's, you know, going on in life. I'm not like that. I'm not like that. I will tell you that by the grace of God, in my life, I had many powerful men, and I also found at one point when I needed it, more than I knew, but exactly what God knew, that it was the Promise Keepers. It was a very powerful piece in my life. And you've heard me talk many times about going to 50,000, 60,000 men. It's like somehow that made me, it was one of those things. You know, we were talking a moment ago about sermons and things, and you hope that every sermon you give touches every person, and every word I said has got, you know, all your hearts, and it's not the truth. You know, there are, you know, is Ron listening? There are Sundays here when I'm mightily moved. There are Sundays when I go, you know, my brain's going, you know, I'm eating hamburgers and things. Not all things speak to everyone. But for me, it was the power of seeing so many other men following Jesus. And it just took me to a completely different place. One of the foundations of the Promise Keepers that kept me going back to the Promise Keepers was, you know, they, one of the things they spoke of is accountability groups, right? Find two more men that you can go to. And women, find two women or a woman. Who can you be who you are with is the question. Who can you be who you are with? It's not always your husband or your wife. It's not always. You know, Carol doesn't always see the bad side of me. Do you, honey? Do you always see the bad side of me? See? Thank you, Lord. There's another one called Iron Sharpens Iron. But there are places and things, but it can be smaller in community. But the whole idea of those wasn't just to gather in large groups, was to gather in large groups to get people to gather in smaller groups, to realize the importance of relationships and that you're not going to make it through this world without relationships. You can be the best person there is on alone, but if you're alone, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. So this brings me to the next question. Why do I come to church? So I know Jesus isn't everything. I know I need relationships. So why do I come to church? And I have a few foundations here. I come here to hear the preaching of the word. To hear the preaching of the word. I wish every word stuck to me and sunk and stayed. But I leak, so I come every Sunday to patch my holes. To participate in corporate worship. I love singing together. Corporate worship is very different. When I sing someplace alone, I sing louder than I do with you because I don't have that voice. But it's not the same. Corporate worship. And it's like I could tell you, you know, going to a Promise Keepers and singing some of those songs. A lot of times when we sing a song here that came from the Promise Keeper group, I'll stand here and I can close my eyes and I can be sitting there with 50,000 men. I think I might have mentioned once before one of those God moments where I ran into the Holy Spirit, where he grabbed a hold of me. Probably the first time in my life that I ever really, really got that there was a Holy Spirit that was alive and well and moving around in the same space that I am. And I was standing there and we were praying and I had one hand up and and I was just gone somewhere. I was just loving being in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then at one point, I opened my eyes, the song was done, and everybody's sitting down, and I'm waiting, one of them weird guys still standing up with my hand up, right? They could, 50,000 guys looking back and say, what's going on with that guy? You know, what's happening to that guy? What's happening to that guy? To participate in corporate worship, because iron sharpens iron. You know, we help each other. To exercise the strengths of our gifts in the church and in the world. These are all, remember, what brings me to church. Why do we go to church? To encourage the pastor, to find godly mentors. I love this, you know, the teaching of our children, the bringing up of our children. I can't praise, you know, people enough who have helped us through our lives raise some pretty godly children. And it's not something that we could have done alone. It's the corporate piece. If you know, it's powerful in every children's life. It's powerful in every person's life. How important that is, and the fact that we can't do it alone. Because Christopher will say, "Hi, Chris." Chris will say, "Dad, yakety 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 yak." But if one of you goes and says the same thing, he's like, "Ooh, you know, Jim Howell said." I know, I've been telling you that for your whole life, you know. There's a power in that. But there's a power in that. To be a light in the community, to bear each other's burdens because God says to. So Bible verses related to gathering together. So hang on for a minute. You gotta indulge me here a bit. So Hebrews, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good news. Matthew, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all the wisdom, teaching, admonishments, and admonishing one another. Matthew, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gather not with me is scattered abroad. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there we all are, singing in one accord. That's Acts. Psalms, gather by saints together unto me those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Thessalonians, therefore comfort yourselves together and identify one another. It just goes on and on and on. I have 25 more scriptures that speak to the one another, how we're supposed to care for one another, love one another, admonish one another, lift up one another. I could read them all to you, but know that the Bible is rich with it. It's what we're called to do. It's what we're called to do. Jesus doesn't just say, you know, I am it, I am all, look to me, everything will be fine, don't worry about anything else. He says hundreds and hundreds of times through the Bible how important it is to love one another. What's the greatest command? Love one another. Gather together, because there's strength in gathering, all of that. So about 600 years before Christ was born, there lived a slave in ancient Greece by the name of Aesop. I love this because it speaks to me. I am the thanker of God for those that passed on the story, right? Thousands and thousands of years. Somebody has hung on to a story and passed it on and passed it on. The word of God has been passed on and passed on. I feel, sometimes I stand up here and I feel very humbled by the people who have come before me and spoke the word of God to the people sitting here. It's a humbling experience. And then to think that something someone said 6,000 years ago, I'm standing saying here today, not in his language, obviously. So he became known as a storyteller. And his fables that teach moral lessons have survived to this very day. Roger Levesque standing here on this date saying something that was said that far long ago because it was passed on. And the title of the story is The Belly and the Members. And this is how it went. One day, in accordance to the members of the body, that they were it occurred to the members of the body that they were doing all the work. You've heard this before. A different one. I've never really heard this one. I've heard it in different. They were doing all the work, and the belly was having all the food. They held a meeting, and after a long discussion, decided to strike work until the belly consented to take its proper share of the work. So for a day or two, the hands refused to take the food, the mouth refused to receive it, and the teeth had no work to do. But after a day or two, the members began to find that they themselves were not in very good condition. The hands could hardly move, the mouth was all parched and dry, while the legs were unable to support the rest of the body. Thus they found that even the belly, in its dull, quiet way, was doing necessary work for the body, and that all must work together, or the body will go to pieces. Good story, huh? From way back when. Our human bodies have been designed much in a way that each of the parts all need to work together for us to be healthy. And that's the way the church is. Everybody brings a piece. We all kind of look at and say, who brings the greatest piece? Well, you know, I got to tell you, Andy does a lot of work around here. Andy does a lot of work. Andy's not here. A lot of people, the singers, the deacons, the musicians, the children's church, they do a lot of work. I'm going to show you in a minute that God says those aren't the ones that need to be lifted up the most, right? It sounds kind of funny. So in Corinthians 12 through 27, said, indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot were to say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. You think you're here by chance? Anybody want to think they're here by chance? God chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need for you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need for you. On the contrary, the members of the body, hear this, the members of the body that seem to be the weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable will be clothed with greater honor. And our less respected members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. If you have a lot of money, you don't need money. If you're poor, you need money. It's kind of a simple view when you stop and think about it for a minute. But God has so arranged the body, given the greater honor to the inferior members. The Word of God. God has arranged the body, given the greater honor to inferior members, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one of the members suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Amen. So as I was doing all of this stuff, I love to search the internet and all that stuff, and it is a terrible place to go, and it's an amazing place to go. And I was typing in, just a couple of things, and it was just one in Christ, and I ran into this. So, we are many, it's a poem, and I believe it was by no accident. We are many, God's great diversity, yet we are one in Christ. Different faces, different races, yet we are one in Christ. Butchers, bakers, website makers, bankers, tailors, teachers, sailors, yet we are one in Christ. Fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, single, married, born, and carried, yet we are one in Christ. The happy, the clappy, the barely out of nappies, the ancient, the modern, the famous, the forgotten, yet we are one in Christ. Some hopeful, some hopeless, some cope well, some cope less. Some sure and some doubt, some whisper, some shout, yet we are all one in Christ. Those with abundance, those with need, those with those who are generous or wrestle with greed. Those with abundance, those with need, those who are generous or wrestle with greed. I got a lot of stuff, and sometimes I worry that, I have too much stuff. and I need to keep my stuff. Yet we are one in Christ, God says. So I'm not excluded by God and not looked at differently by God. Elbows, tummies, knees and noses, kidneys, femurs, teeth and toeses. Some unmentionable, some protected, some accepted, some rejected. Yet we are all one in Christ. A broken body, torn apart, mars God's image and breaks God's heart. And breaks God's heart. And yet our Father knows the end, when all the kids will sing in harmony, the bride will dazzle, her branches bloom. So add your voice to the hymn, the tune, that we are all one in Christ. Amen? Chokes me a little bit there. So I'm going to give you just a quick rundown of another. So again, like I said, rich in scripture. So is this one another thing really scriptural? Is it, you know, does God call us to one another, reach out to one another? Not your best friend, not the person you really like, not the one next to you who I can say, Jesus loves you. I know he does because you're in church with me here today. It's the person elsewhere. It's the people in our past that have hurt us and damaged us and changed who we are maybe. And you all know, when you hate somebody, who's hurt worse? The person you hate or the hatred you carry? The hatred you carry. So Mark says, be at peace with one another. John says, don't grumble among one another. Romans, be of the same mind with one another. Romans again, accept one another. Galatians, don't boastfully challenge or envy one another. Ephesians, gently, patiently tolerate, wait for one another. Gently, patiently tolerate, wait for one another. Be kind, tender, hearted, and forgiving to one another. Ephesians, Colossians, bear with and forgive one another. And I'm just going to skip which scripture, but know these all come from scripture. Seek God for one another. Seek God for one another. Don't complain against one another. Confess sins to one another. And then there's the love. Love one another. Through love, serve one another. Tolerate one another in love. Greet one another with kisses of love. Be devoted to one another in love. And then there's the hardest one of all, humility. Give preference to one another in honor. Regard one another as more important than yourself. Do you look down the street and see other people as more important than yourselves? More important than we are? Serve one another, wash one another's feet, be subject to one another, clothe yourselves in humility towards one another. That's Peter 5:5. Clothe yourselves in humility towards one another. Pretty powerful, isn't it? Clothe yourselves in humility. It's not about me figuring out what I need to do and then asking Jesus for that. I do that a lot. I ponder on things. I say things. I figure it out. Roger figures it out. And then I go to God. And I say, look, Lord, here's my plan, and I need you to bless this. This is what I want. And the truth is, here I am, 62 years old, and that word comes powerful to me a lot, and I catch myself doing it because I know what I need, don't I? I know what I need, don't I? Instead, my prayer should be, Jesus, I come to you, and I lay myself before you. And what is it you need of me? Because he always gives us what we need. Galatians, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Anybody want to finish it? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. I will leave you with a few final thoughts. When I stand in front of the mirror and I look at me, do I see the person that everyone else sees? And when someone else looks at me, do they see Christ in me? You ever stand in a mirror and look at yourself? It's kind of a weird moment. Is this what I look like? Jeez, I really got, man, I've gotten old. All those things. But if you stand there and stare for a minute, if you can be honest with no one else, be honest with the person that's looking back at you, and sometimes that can be a pretty scary time. That can be a pretty scary time. It's not about me figuring out what I need. It's about looking to Jesus Christ and asking what I need. If you harbor bitterness for another person, you're not only damaging them, you're damaging yourself. It's a tough message. We all have people we don't necessarily like. And I think I've given you enough scripture, so there should be no argument. Anybody want to debate? Anybody want to debate what we're supposed to do with that? We're not perfect, but we seek and we have a perfect God. And we serve a perfect God, don't we? And therefore, God, and through God, we seek the perfect life in his name and in his way, not in ours. In every relationship we have, in every thought we have, may we seek Jesus and see his reflection when we look into the mirror. He's not all we need. Jesus is not all we need. We need to be loving of one another. And we need to care for one another and not carry animosity or hatred for one another. Jesus is with us every moment. The world separates us from our walk with Christ. It separates us from who our Creator designed us to be. Who our Creator, it separates us from that. So bow and pray for a minute. Are we doing all right? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, died on the cross for us. He shed his blood for us, that we would have a life everlasting as well, and a powerful, fulfilling, Christ-like life here on earth. He didn't just put us here. Father, we know you didn't just put us here to muddle through this. May the Holy Spirit be with us, hold us, and walk with us every step we take, in every decision we make, in every relationship we have. By the spilling of the precious blood of the Lamb, may we hear the great command to love one another. Father, help us fix wrong relationships, reach out to someone in need, and reach out when we're in need. May the grace of God that passes all understanding be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger. That was awesome.